We greet you in the holy name of Jesus Christ. As you know, Jesus performed many miracles during his ministry, including the healing of sick people. There is an account found in Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56, that tells of a very sick woman, and we are told no one could heal her. Brother David Johnson will speak about this today on this Words of Life program. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who pray and donate for this broadcast to exist. We begin with singing a praise for our Lord.
Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love or shade. Sweetly. my soul shall rest.
Please pause with us for prayer. Father, we praise your holy name, and you alone are God, and we enjoy all that you give us. Thank you for personally loving us so much. Please use your presence to be known for each of our listeners as you bless them with salvation, health, and peace. And may each one be receptive of all that you give. We know that your word says that the time is coming when Jesus will return for his people to himself. Please help us to be constantly mindful of this great event when we will see Jesus. Thank you for listening to us and being our Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present No One Could Heal Her.
It's wonderful to be together again as we study together in the Scriptures. The title for the lesson is No One Could Heal Her. And our text is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. Please listen to the Word of God. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came up from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. This is the word of God. As we all know, in this life, we all are plagued from time to time with some illness or disease or ailment. We all seek health restoration. We eagerly desire to be pain-free, to be liberated from any and every disease and ailment. Jesus Christ was and is an extremely compassionate and caring person. He has not changed. Yet he is not walking and healing among us on earth now, today. He is now in heaven at the right hand of God. That's not to think that time or distance can block his healing power today. They cannot. However, miraculous physical healing at Christ's first coming to this earth was primarily for proof, for authentication of who he claimed to be, Messiah, Savior, the one and only unique Son of God. And the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the message of repentance and of faith and of His lordship over those who would receive Him. The miraculous powers of Jesus were divine confirmation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ as the Son of God who came to die that through obedient faith we might inherit eternal life. This confirmation of Jesus Christ by supernatural signs and wonders is the testimony of Scripture. For example, regarding the miracle at the wedding in Cana, John chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "This, the first of His miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed His glory, and His disciples put their faith in Him." Jesus stated in the Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 38, which says in part, "Even though you do not believe Me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in Me, and I in the Father." Because Jesus is the unique, one and only, only begotten Son of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 states, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through Him, as you yourselves know." Also, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4, it says in part, "This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles." So, supernatural power, including healing miracles, were primarily for affirmation, for authentication of the messenger, Jesus Christ, and the message, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, miracles, including miraculous physical healing, are not necessary because the testimony via the completion of the Scriptures is available to confirm the messenger and the message of Christ Jesus. That is not to say the Lord cannot perform miracles today. He can. They are just rare. God has many ways and purposes regarding healing. Let's look deeper into our study text, Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56, and make application to today. Consider verses 41 and 42. "Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying." Ruler of the synagogue means he was a lay leader, not a priest, a Jewish elder responsible for the administration, the maintenance, and supervision of the teaching and worship in this local center of spiritual life, synagogue, which is a place of assembly. What's unusual here is that an eminent ruler would fall at the feet of an itinerant teacher publicly and plead for his help. Jairus was probably the highest-ranking religious official in the area, in the town of Capernaum. So how did Jairus know of Jesus' power? In Luke chapter 4 and verses 31 and following, Jesus had previously cast a demon out of a man in Jairus' synagogue. He also knew of Jesus' reputation as a healer, physical healer. The application to us today is, especially in a serious health threat, certainly believers, but even others, eminent or everyday people often humble themselves, pleading to God for the healing of our loved ones, and this is proper and desirable of us, that we should seek the Lord's help, however He so chooses. Bible-believing Christians know and believe from Scripture that Jesus Christ has power over, for example, the wind and the raging waters, Luke chapter 8 and verse 24. Over, for example, power over the legion of many demons, Luke chapter 8 and verse 30 and following. Power over disease and death in Luke chapter 8 and verse 40 and following in our text. As Bible-believing Christians, we know and we believe Jesus Christ has power over the impossible versus what mere men can accomplish. And Jesus Christ has not changed. His power is not changeable. He is the unique, divine Son of God. He is deity in bodily form. In our text, Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. Consider verses 43 and 44. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Not gradually, but instantly the bleeding stopped. So an unnamed, anonymous woman who had suffered physically, socially, and spiritually, because she was a Jewess, with an issue of blood, and therefore she was considered ceremoniously unclean and shunned and denied entry to the temple or any synagogue, for 12 years, the age of the daughter of Jairus, she had endured probably pain and certainly being an outcast socially and spiritually. This woman, nevertheless, had the courage, had the faith, thinking, if only I can touch the edge of his cloak, I could be healed. How do we know that she had such faith? Verse 48, then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Of course, it was the power of Jesus over disease that instantly cured her when no one else could. Jesus Christ is the master of the humanly impossible. He has power. Consider verse 46. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Jesus knew someone had intentionally touched him for healing. An application today is to know and to believe that this same Jesus is all-powerful, that this same Jesus is the most compassionate and caring person, that he can heal instantly, or that he can heal through the God-given abilities of doctors and our modern health delivery system, or that the Lord can give us the inward power to cope with our many ailments. Consider one man who learned this, the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 8 and 9, it states of Paul, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about any weakness, about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. God's power can also rest on us. Granted, it does take maturity of faith. The Lord has His purposes, which we often do not understand. Our part is to trust Him anyway. God never makes mistakes. His power, His compassion should never be doubted. on that particular day with Jesus. It was a miracle within a miracle, as he had and has the power to dramatically defeat disease and death immediately. Verse 49 says in part, "Someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. 'Your daughter is dead.' Death is the great separator. Eventually, something causes death for almost everybody, whether young or old, whether sudden or lingering. Enoch and Elijah accepted so far. Even Jesus Christ had to suffer and die to pay the ransom to set us free from the penalty of sin, eternal death. This is possible only to those who receive him through obedient faith. However, in this child's tender age, Jesus was there to bring her back from death itself. Now that's power, and that's compassion." Verses 54 and 55 says in part, "But he took her by the hand and said, 'My child, get up.' Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up, immediately healed." Today, there are some so-called after-death experiences that people lived again to tell their stories. Probably in our skepticism, we should nevertheless reserve judgment. Only God knows exactly what actually occurs in each case. Bible-believing Christians know God does have the power over death. In our study of that day, in the power and compassion of Jesus, we know both Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood ended up at the feet of Jesus. And someday, in our humble worship, we too will no doubt end up in the same place, at his feet. Regarding death, as believers, we must never forget, as foreboding as death is, there is a great unifier in death as well, and it's not the end of it all. Sir Winston Churchill, the great Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, planned his funeral, which included many great hymns of praise to God. According to his instructions, a bugler, after the benediction, was to play taps, the universal signal that the day was over. But that was not the end. Then another bugler was to play reveille. "It's time to get up. It's a new day, new life." That's Winston Churchill's testimony of faith. Taps, the end of it all, is not the end. Reveille will follow. Believers' spirits will one day be reunited with perfected, glorified, tangible bodies. Believers will be unified, reunited with all believers of every age, unified with God's holy angels, unified with the living triune God. Then life will really begin sensationally. But all of this only if we are in Christ Jesus through persevering, saving faith. May that be true of each of us. May we share these truths with others.
The same Jesus who healed the sick is God's only begotten Son and the Savior. If you are not yet a Christian, please understand that you must truly believe in Jesus, God's Son. The Bible tells us that we must believe in Him and then repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion. If we can answer questions, please write to us. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, please write to us and ask for CD 1847. That's 1847. We look forward to hearing from you. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.